How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, and we have pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news to talk about today. Lots of it. A lot of information on Raw and Impact from this week. We've got a TLC pay-per-view coming up, and the build continued on Raw this past Monday night. They're going to do a TLC match. CM Punk and Ryback, tables, ladders, and chairs. Mike and I are going to talk about that match. Potential injury to, anytime you've got Ryback in a match, and you've got gimmicks, and you've got high places, and it could be dangerous. We expected a tables match, but they switched it up. So we're going to talk about that, plus the John Cena-Dolph Ziggler storyline that has been taking place on Raw, which is going to lead to a match at TLC. Nothing official yet as to what that match is going to be, but we'll talk about a couple of possibilities and a potential twist in the storyline that may or not take place, may or may not take place. TMZ posted some very interesting photos over the weekend, which you can head up and check out, which, believe it or not, could actually play in to the John Cena-Dolph Ziggler feud if they wanted to go in that direction. We'll talk about that. Plus, the New Japan iPay-per-view. Mike Sempervivi checked it out on very, very late last night. And, of course, he is on the East Coast, so it started even later for him, so we'll talk about that. He actually stayed up for the entire thing. We'll talk about TNA axing two pay-per-views next year. Which two pay-per-views are being cut and why? How does this benefit TNA? We'll talk about that, plus the death of Freebird Buddy Roberts. We have MMA news as well. UFC on Fox taking place from my hometown of Seattle next week, as well as info on Strikeforce's final show falling apart. We'll talk about Silva versus GSP. Is it ever going to happen? What are both guys asking for? It's a very interesting story, potentially leading to the biggest match in the history of mixed martial arts, or one of them. All of that and more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Lots of news to get into today. And Mike, how are things going out your way?
I am not going to complain whatsoever. A little bit tired because I stayed up for that New Japan pay-per-view, which started at 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. But I did make my way through it, so I'm doing okay. I'll be able to rest after the show.
I'm out here in Oregon at Cannon Beach. We're doing a kind of a holiday weekend, and I just wanted to mention that because if you hear wind in the background, I believe gale force winds right now bashing into the condo that we're staying at. So it's something else out here, Mike. We brought my buddy Rodney out, and he had nightmares that he was in the middle of a hurricane.
He would have experience with that. You don't want to scare Rodney too much, and I can't believe you're taking him out there, too. A native of New Orleans, he doesn't usually have to deal with the possibility of seeing Bigfoot, too.
That's right. I was actually disappointed because we were out here, and last night, I can't remember where we were at, but I suddenly realized that I am in Oregon, and if I were back at the condo right now, I could watch the brand-new Portland Wrestling Uncut on television. I didn't think about it until it was too late. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but Roddy Piper, he's doing a new Portland Wrestling. Not him by himself, obviously, but they've got a television show. They're shooting TV. They brought back the Grappler, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see it. But in another lifetime, there was a Portland Wrestling show down here on the WB, the early 2000s, actually. And I was wrestling on that program, and I was in the very first match of the new Portland Wrestling, and I wrestled the Grappler, and he pinned me with a loaded boot.
Tradition still rules. Now, was Daniel Bryan, then known as Bryan Danielson, also on that show?
Yes, he was. He was, in fact. And it was a lot of fun for a short period of time, but the whole thing fell apart. Anyway, I wanted to mention that also because at the time, this was like 2001, the grappler had like a bad neck. And so before the match, you know, we're going over everything and I was alerted, you know, I'm not supposed to take any bumps, you know, try and stay away from my neck, blah, blah, blah. So here it is in 2012. Guess who's still wrestling? The grappler.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
It's like Jerry Lynn's retirement that I've heard he's going to have coming up here where he's facing off against Lance Storm being one of the guys. And it's just like, no, you're not. Now, I know you're saying you're going to retire, but you never do. Mike Jackson, the Alabama legend who was on, you know, WCW, NWA TV a lot back in the day on World Championship Wrestling, doing jobs and things like that. I think he still claims the Alabama Junior Heavyweight title, and he's had about 75 retirements. He may have had more retirements than Terry Funk.
I'd like to get the grappler someday to give me his thoughts on these guys that pull out of their UFC fights because they've got these injuries. I think he'd have a lot to say about the kids today. But that's another matter entirely. Let's get into the news here. We got the TLC pay-per-view coming up, and obviously everybody is well aware there's going to be a Punk Ryback match, and we had been speculating that they would do a tables match, which is an easy way to get out of Ryback having to do yet another job. But instead, they have changed it to a tables, ladders, and chairs match, which means that Ryback is going to have to, you know, climb a ladder, fall off high places. I don't think this is a good idea, personally.
Yeah, I don't either. I was kind of surprised by that. And not, I don't know if they're doing this because everyone is just... Because you don't have to be an expert to look at that and go, well, tables match makes complete sense when you know, the chairs match is going to go to Sheamus and Big Show. And it just, you know, you figure Ziggler's athleticism with Cena, the TLC, them getting that portion of the proceedings seemed to make perfect sense. So the tables match, I don't know why, unless this is to set up something with the Shield or something like that. But yeah, just for the things that you mentioned, you know, he's a big bulky guy. Usually when they're involved in matches like that, ladder matches and those types of things, they're the base for other guys to do moves on top of them and off of them. So it's, you know, it's a match with a lot of plunder. So again, it's not going to kill Ryback that badly. And maybe they don't have to do Hardy and Edge Christian style things, spots off of ladders or anything like that. So maybe this is just because they just want as many diversions as possible in that match.
I just think that Ryback is just starting to learn to work main event style singles matches with no gimmicks, and throwing him into this match where, you know, you've got to incorporate a ladder and some chairs, and obviously there's going to be a lot of plunder there, and hopefully Punk can design something that works for everybody. But it just seems like this is asking a lot of the guy. And not only that, I mean, what experience does Ryback have falling off ladders? You know, maybe he's not going to fall off any ladders. Maybe he's not going to do any climbing at all. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but obviously the finish would be something of the nature of the Shield running in. Ryback, one by one, kills all of them. And in the midst of doing so, Punk sneaks up and takes the belt and retains the title, which obviously means they're going to try and do something else now, since that's what everybody figures the finish is. But I mentioned this in the new Figure Four Weekly this week, and I probably talked about it on the show, but I do so many shows, I can't remember when I talked about what. But it is interesting that Ryback got over really big, never losing. And the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view did a really good number. And everybody can debate why, but my theory is that you, inadvertently, mind you, because the original main event was supposed to be CM Punk and John Cena, but Cena got hurt, so Ryback ended up in the match. You inadvertently booked the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. You had a long-term WWE champion who was on his way to the longest reign in 22 years, and you had a guy who'd never lost, and you put him in a match that had to have a finish. And I can't understand any other reason that show would have done as well as it did. I mean, Punk has never been that big a draw, unless it was with, for example, John Cena at the TLC pay-per-view. But It seemed that the situation was such that a lot of people are interested in who's going to win, who's going to lose. And when they beat Ryback, their original idea was, let's put him in a Survivor Series match, a 10-man, and presumably he would be the sole survivor and run through all of the heels, including pinning CM Punk, which I thought, okay, great idea to rehab the guy. But Vince got the buy rate for the show and decided, well, this guy's hot. Let's put him in the main event. So they changed it to a three-way with Ryback, Cena, and Punk, and they beat Ryback. And now Ryback's in another match here at TLC. And granted, in all three matches, he'll end up being screwed. But still, you took a guy who got over being undefeated, and now you're having him lose three times in a row. I don't think this is a good idea.
No, long-term, it's probably not, because then, you know, sooner or later, he's just going to get the loss, and he's just probably going to become another guy, because, you know, who there besides, you know, Orton, Sheamus, and Cena isn't just another guy. So their track record doesn't, you know, back them up too much there. So, yeah, you have to think of it that way. Say this, though, even though the way the television structure is set up, you can't, even though the ratings are not good, and I, you know, in a Russo-rific way, you could try to turn that around and put that on Punk and say, well, his numbers aren't doing well. You know, regardless of that, that's because of the way the TV is set up. And one thing you can say is, if this match is even halfway decent, you know, the credit is really going to have to go to CM Punk. And Paul Heyman has done, you know, amazing things with guys, making them look bigger than they are, and what he was able to do in ECW. And if he has some input into this match, which I assume that he would, you know, at least there are some creative minds here at play to try to maneuver this thing in the best possible way where, you know, one, Ryback looks, you know, good coming out of this whole thing, and two, Punk doesn't get killed by the guy because of the reasons that you mentioned. He's just learning how to work, really, period, much less in a match like this with a guy like CM Punk.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about another match on the show, the Dolph Ziggler-John Cena match, which is really weird because they wrestled for free on Raw last week in a singles match, and John Cena overcame all the odds and beat Dolph Ziggler. So why should we care about them on pay-per-view? Well, we'll find out in a moment. Back in just a second, listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the Internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here talking the upcoming TLC pay-per-view in a very strange match, John Cena and Dolph Ziggler. Now, what the stipulations will be, I don't know yet. Presumably, we're going to find out tomorrow. Perhaps a tables match, I don't know. Perhaps the briefcase is going to be on the line in that match. Maybe they'll even do a mixed tag team match. I guess we shall see. But they were scheduled for the pay-per-view, and then on Raw Monday, they inexplicably had a long singles match where John Cena overcame the odds and won the match clean. Baffling. Asked around backstage, nobody seemed to have any idea. The best explanation I was given was, this is a writing team that doesn't understand why you wouldn't give away a match with a clean finish 2 weeks before a pay-per-view, which blew my mind, but such is life. This weekend on TMZ, some photos showed up. Have you seen these photos, Mike?
I have seen these photos.
The Bella Twins had their 10-year high school reunion, and so they brought along dates. And I believe Brie Bella brought along Daniel Bryan. Pretty sure it's Brie and Daniel Bryan. They have been dating for a long time, so that is not a surprise. Nikki Bella brought along John Cena. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, Nikki Bella, in real life, had been dating Dolph Ziggler. And now they have apparently broken up, and Nikki Bella invited John Cena to her reunion. Now, maybe it's just me, Mike, but why would TMZ cameras be at this random high school reunion, one would suspect that somebody had to have tipped them off, you know? Is it really newsworthy that the Bellas are at their 10-year high school reunion? I would guess somebody would have had to have tipped them off that, hey, John Cena and Daniel Bryan are going to be there as the dates. You can get shots of John Cena in a suit looking as awkward as possible doing the cha-cha. So it is possible, I actually don't think they're going to do this, but it is possible that that this rebound will be brought up on Raw. That Dolph Ziggler's former flame is now with John Cena, which you could use in some ways to add fuel to the fire of this feud. Now, whether they'll do this, I don't know, but I just, when the picture showed up this weekend, it just seemed odd that this was found newsworthy. And then when I thought about it, it was like, well, that's awfully convenient. And we'll see what they do. I mean, there have been Eric Pankowski, who is the head of creative right now. He has been involved with TMZ, which is why you see a lot of TMZ-related, you know, if you watch, like, the beginning of the show, it's very, very TMZ-ish. Last week on Raw and all this drama and this and that. And I think that, I think there's something that could be done here. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's certainly possible. So that's something to keep an eye on for tomorrow.
Until Harvey Levin shows up, I'm not going to be impressed whatsoever. But, you know, that's one of those things. And granted, I mean, TMZ is everywhere. It doesn't take much to take a picture of someone now and then. But the way, to me, exactly what you were saying, the way the pictures were and just how it came off, I don't know, the first time seeing it, it was one of those things that popped up into my mind, too. And obviously, Dolph has been very angry towards women here recently, too. And, you know, obviously, he's feeling, you know, coming off as spurned or scorned or something, you know, and his lashing of AJ and leading this whole thing with he and Cena. But I would assume that, again, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The only thing I could try to say is, well, they're going to have Ziggler go over Cena, and they have had this thing traditionally with Cena where they don't want to hurt him in any way. They love the 50-50, and maybe that's what it is because, yeah, I was surprised that, you know, the way they've been, you know, moving Ziggler in the 2 weeks before this, you know, kind of looking like a, you know, rebuilding him and solidifying him as a contender, not just a guy with a briefcase who loses a lot. I was surprised with how they did this.
What match did you put these guys in? Tables match or mixed tag?
I would still rather wait on the one-on-one thing. If you could, but then again, I mean, where do the tables play into this? What I would do is put up the briefcase. You know, I think on SmackDown it was Cena, you know, when he came out to cut his promo before he faced Del Rio, said something about how, you know, important that thing is to him. So, you know, I would go that direction because I just don't know how, again, you have plenty of time and enough TV shows to do it this week. But you're going to have to incorporate the table somehow. So I would just actually do it for the briefcase, either that or hold them off and do some sort of mixed up nonsense.
So basic ladder match with the briefcase hanging above the ring.
I guess that's what it would be. I mean, you know, nobody's got the ladder match. So, yeah, I guess that would be the direction you'd go.
Seems odd
either
to
that
have...
or do a Tamina AJ sort of thing and mix them in there, I guess. You could do that if you wanted to.
Would seem kind of odd to take Dolph Ziggler, who lives to bump, and not put him in a match that involves crazy bumps.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing with the TLC, too. I mean, you can easily, the whole thing with the Shield has been, they've been powerbombing Ryback through tables. And so it just would seem like that would have been the natural thing, and you just need one bump of Ryback going through a table, and boom, that's all you need. And you have TLC with Dolph Ziggler being able to do, you know, just ungodly things with his body that, you know, he may or may not pay for later on in life. I'm betting that he will. But, yeah, that seemed like it would be right up their alley. And that would, to me, again, make the most sense. So I don't know if there was a switch or, again, no clue.
You know, it would be interesting in the sense that a while back I had heard they were putting it under consideration that Ziggler would cash in the briefcase against Punk. And I had a lot of people email me, and they were very upset at this idea because he can't do that. He's not allowed to do that. He can only cash it in for the world title, not the WWE title. And I tried to explain that I know what the rules are, but there are no rules when they book themselves into a corner. They can do whatever they want. And wouldn't this be pretty much the same thing, that Dolph is defending the briefcase against a guy on the other brand? Is it? I mean, would John Cena then only be able to cash in on the other champion if he won the other briefcase from a guy on the other brand? I suppose that's what they would do, but I think that the briefcase, at this point, he can cash it in against anybody. You might even be able to play into doing something with John Cena and The Rock, where Cena actually wins the briefcase, and then he ends up challenging The Rock and just flat out saying, I'm going to cash in my briefcase at WrestleMania against The Rock. And you could do, here's some long-term booking. John Cena wins the briefcase. Rock wins the title from Punk at the Royal Rumble. John Cena, the night after the Rumble, says, I am going to cash in my briefcase against you, Rock, at WrestleMania this year, so be ready. And then Punk comes out and challenges Cena to a match for the briefcase at the Elimination Chamber. And then it's in doubt. Who's going to face The Rock at Mania? Is it going to be Punk or John Cena? Who wins the briefcase? And lo and behold, you've got your booking leading all the way through WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that would be fine. And realistically, too, I mean, it doesn't matter until after WrestleMania who the champion of the, I mean, they have everything so jumbled up anyway. And again, they wouldn't have to do that. I mean, they fill the Elimination Chamber usually with, you know, a Kofi or somebody like that, you know, in the past where they don't have a chance anyway. They're just filling them up, R-Truth from the rest of the brand. Realistically, who the champion is and who the top contender is or who he's feuding with going into that really does not matter for the shows whatsoever, because they're going to be combined and mixed up, and SmackDown's still going to have a huge piece of Raw on it every single week. So it doesn't really matter whatsoever, again, until after WrestleMania, where they usually do that little bit of a reset.
Did you watch Impact this week?
I did indeed.
What do you think of these gut check guys? This is a matter of great debate now. I was reading the Observer, and Dave was very high on all of the gut check guys last week, and I was just completely baffled. I thought they were all very, very green. But apparently a lot of people in TNA were impressed with their performance as well, so I don't know what to make of this anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
You know, I think you're too hard on them, but with that said, it's been a flawed concept, because you're not bringing on, you know, Alex Silva and Taylor Hendricks and guys like that, because, you know, it was presented in a way where they were going to make an impact on impact, boom, right off the bat. That's what this was about. Well, realistically, it should have been about, let's see some of this, you know, young talent. They should have kind of changed it over time to, you know, these people are going to be in OVW. You see Al Snow here every week. You know, then you could tie that in with Al Snow and Rip Rogers, and if you wanted to, at OVW, and that's probably the way this whole thing should be presented. Obviously, with the exception of Wes Briscoe, and if this whole thing has been leading up to what they're going to do with Wes Briscoe, okay, I guess I'm fine with it, but they definitely need to reset it now.
Next year, Impact has, they announced that Lockdown was going to the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. Yeah, the Alamo Dome. What did I say? Did I say the Alamo Dome?
Yeah, just thinking about 70,000 people. So I wonder if they have an annex or a garage or something.
They do. They. I don't know what they have, but somebody in TNA texted me virtually immediately. It might have been after Dave posted the possible attendance on the front page of 70,000, and noted that there is a setup that will work for TNA, meaning they're not going to put them in the building that holds 70,000, or they'll set up the arena for 7,000, for example. But it's not going to be locked down in an empty, cavernous building. But regardless, that show's been moved to March, and it appears, in fact, this has been confirmed to me by TNA, that the February pay-per-view and the September pay-per-view are axed next year. So TNA moving from 12 pay-per-views to 10. And what that means is, for their two biggest shows of the year, Lockdown and Bound for Glory, they're going to get a two-month build for each of them, which should actually greatly help the buy rate. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also listen to the show on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That's the TuneIn Radio app. Download it. On a lot of phones, it's free. I know on the iPhone, it's not free, but I think it's like $3.99 or something like that. You only have to pay one time. And search Sports Byline USA, and you can listen to all of the Sports Byline USA programming anytime you wish, including archives of Wrestling Observer Live. That's the TuneIn Radio app. Also, check out WrestlingObserver.com for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Daily news updates. Tons of radio shows. There's so many radio shows, I have completely lost track. Every radio show we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available for members. Membership, $10.99 per month. You get daily radio shows, sometimes several shows per day. In fact, I think this past Thursday, I did 5 shows in one day. That is an exceptional day. Normally, 1 or 2 shows a day, usually 2, sometimes many more. But not only do you get access to all of the new shows, but you get every show that we've ever done in the archive as well. So if you sign up today, Christmas gift for yourself, Christmas gift for a friend, well, it's like you signed them up in 2005 because everything we've ever done is available to them immediately. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. Again, it's only $10.99 a month. You get full access to everything. If you don't like it, you never have to try it again. But I've said it many times, if you like Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday, you will love, absolutely love, a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check it out. We got free shows on the right-hand side of the page. You can scroll down, click on them, sample them, and if you like what you hear, there's about 5,000 just like it in the archives. So check it out for your wrestling and MMA audio fix. Anyway, Mike, we were talking about the TNA concept of axing 2 pay-per-views in 2013. They're axing the February show, and they are axing the September show, which means they will have a 2-month build to Lockdown and a 2-month build to Bound for Glory. And I honest to God think they should cut 6 pay-per-views and have a 2-month build to every show. But at least at this point, that's not going to happen. And it could happen, but right now there are only 2 shows being axed. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, they probably should cut back more, but I wouldn't suggest doing that unless they get some sort of iPay-per-view function in place where they could stream it themselves through Spike and then, you know, basically collect all of the money that way. You know, I wouldn't want to leave that much. I know a whole lot of people don't order, you know, every single pay-per-view, but you're leaving too much on the table that way, and I don't think the cable industry would be too, you know, overly happy about that right now, especially if WWE and God knows if they go through with plans to actually put the B shows on a network. You know, although things are changing in the cable industry, they're still not going to be overly happy about that. So cutting the 2, though, makes perfect sense leading into their 2 biggest shows because of the fact that you can get some more viewers and you have time to build up and you get a chance to get people more emotionally invested and you give those viewers, very few of whom, you know, 1 million people watch every single week, you know, but just a very small percentage of those people ever order the pay-per-views. It will give them time to really be smart and invest in things and lead up to these big shows that, you know, are supposed to be their showcases and to hopefully latch them into becoming, you know, at least going back to giving it a shot to ordering the, you know, the next months after that's pay-per-view. So I think it's a good move. They're actually going to be in Salisbury, Maryland, too. Those tickets went on sale this past Saturday, so I guess I'll be have a chance probably to go to my first TNA house show, which I know you've been to a couple of them, and from what everybody says, they are, you know, phenomenal. So I'm going to get a chance to do that. That's actually taking place on January 4th, so a very big day. The Dome Show and TNA.
They're actually really fun shows, the live house shows. Do you have a card for that show yet? Have they announced who's going to be wrestling?
They've aired the commercials on Raw and SmackDown. They've actually given a good presence on both of those shows. And I think it's Aries, Hardy, and Rude in the cage for the title. I think that's one of the things they're advertising. They definitely focused on at least putting the pictures up there of Rob Van Dam and Kurt Angle. But I think that's it as far as, you know, really anything that they are going to announce.
If you're listening to the show and you've never been to a TNA house show and they come to your town, I recommend going. TNA house shows, actually WWE house shows too, are a lot of fun. Just fun to go and watch some wrestling. You don't have to deal with all of the goofiness, 8 million backstage segments and bad soap operas and voiceovers. It's just wrestling. Everybody always works very hard on the house shows. And particularly TNA, since they draw a much smaller crowd. You know, WWE can draw thousands to a house show. TNA draws in the low hundreds. I mean, I went to a show in Kent, and I think they probably had about 800 there. But because there's so few fans there compared to WWE, it's a very fan-friendly experience. They do contests to bring people backstage to meet the wrestlers. They have meet and greets after the show where, like, the main eventers get in the ring, and you can get in line and go meet them and have them sign your stuff. And every house show I've gone to, everyone just had a really great time. So if you get a chance, I would check those out. Usually, I'll say usually. They're not always better than Impact, but oftentimes, 9 times out of 10, the house shows are more fun than your average Impact. Now, on the subject of pay-per-views, let's get a quick review of the New Japan Eye pay-per-view, which took place last night.
Yeah, as you talked about last week, this was the third New Japan Eye pay-per-view, and it's leading into their big WrestleMania next month, January 4th at the Tokyo Dome. It looked to be, if you were going to have to skip a show, or if you didn't have the $25, probably was the one to skip, and it ended up being that way. It was basically a placeholder B show to basically get, you know, they have this annual tag league every year, and it ended up becoming, it turned into contenders for the IWGP tag team title, and that basically happened. And it was also to tease, you know, battles that will be taking place on January 4th. So it was not a mind-bendingly good show or anything like that. It was solid. Again, Kazushi Sakuraba and Katsuyori Shibata, with the feeling that they get from the crowd, was probably the best thing on here against Tomohiro Ishii and Shinsuke Nakamura, which is to set up basically Sakuraba and Nakamura on January 4th, which is going to be, to American fans, it won't mean that much. To Japanese fans, it's actually a pretty big deal. So, again, the card worth $25, absolutely, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, but it's not one of those things like the, definitely not like the show in October and not like the show coming up in January, which are must-see shows. This isn't one you'd necessarily have to go rush out there and see or feel as though you missed anything by not getting a chance to see it.
It's available on Ustream right now, so head up there and check that out. This coming Saturday, UFC on Fox 5, big show for me. It's taking place here in Seattle. Seattle was the home of the biggest UFC fight night in history, and amazingly, this is their second time back in the market. I'm sure they will return regularly, hopefully from this point forward. But UFC on Fox 5, headlined by Ben Henderson against Nate Diaz for the 155-pound title. Shogun Hua and Alexander Gustafsson is on the card. BJ Penn versus Rory McDonald, and Mike Swick versus Matt Brown rounds out the main card. And Mike, I am so excited for Ben Henderson and Nate Diaz. It is like Ryback versus CM Punk in a Hell in a Cell match. How's that for comparison? It is the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. You've got Nate Diaz, who is a submission whiz, against Ben Henderson, a man who cannot be submitted. I cannot wait to see this fight.
Well, I mean, such a fun show. A perfect show for you, too, being a BJJ guy as well, too, with, you know, the BJ Penn on there. And, you know, Shogun and Gustafsson, I've been a big Gustafsson fan anyway, so I think that's a really good fight. You know, it's unfortunate LeVar Johnson and Brendan Schaub, that fight didn't end up taking place, just because that was probably a guaranteed spectacular knockout. And, you know, as a fan of MMA and as a follower of MMA, I'm really excited about this show. And again, you know, Penn basically, for all intents and purposes, as we look at it right now, is going in to do the job to the young star. And, you know, if Penn wins this, you actually get, you know, another pay-per-view, at least semi-main event out of him. So even though, you know, Rory McDonald would be the best case scenario for the win here, you know, you get a storyline that way. Shogun and Gustafsson, and again, Henderson and Diaz. I hope this card does good ratings. I know coming up here during football season, Fox doubleheaders, if you don't have a doubleheader that week from Fox, they are airing this countdown show. It's I know today it's on, I think about 4:30 or so. It's going to be on if you don't have a late game from Fox today, or on Sundays. That's usually how it goes. So hopefully they do a good job drumming up support and getting people to see this thing, because, you know, for fans of MMA, it's going to be a great show. It doesn't have a whole lot of name appeal for an outsider, but I think if they do get the eyeballs, and it's good that there's no college football, there's no NFL, I don't think, taking place, you know, this coming Saturday for any reason or anything like that. There's no hockey going on. So unless you're just a really big basketball fan, there's really nothing on, you know, sporting-wise on TV, I don't think, coming up. So it's perfect timing to have these guys who are not big names right now to the average sports fan, that, you know, with the exception of BJ Penn, that can maybe get some shine out of this.
BJ Penn is in shape. He's got a very brief video of him doing some shadow boxing on the beach, and he looks lean. Can he beat Rory McDonald?
You know what? Yeah, he can. He absolutely can. Of course he can. He's BJ Penn and Rory McDonald. I mean, again, for as polished and as shiny and as good as he is, and the fact that he's getting better literally every day at his age, you know, BJ Penn is still a wily veteran who's been through a lot of battles, and I don't think he can do it, but there is a chance he can. And again, you know, it's better if McDonald wins, but it ain't that bad if Penn ends up pulling out the win either.
Been a lot of talk about the potential Silva-GSP match. Anderson Silva, of course. And a lot of rumors that George St. Pierre doesn't want the fight, or is hesitant to take the fight unless he gets millions and millions and millions of dollars. Significantly more than the primetime players are worth, I might add. What are your Todd's odds that this fight takes place in 2013? Is this all posturing and we're going to actually see it in spring of 2013? Or do you really think that GSP does not want this fight unless it's on his terms when he wants it, and he's just going to say no and this fight will not take place?
You know what? If I'm GSP, I do exactly that. He's got other fights. It's not a good fight for him right now. The longer you can make Anderson wait, the more you can hopefully lull him into being, you know, not in, his pure physical shape. Whatever you can do from his end, because I am not a fan of this fight. It's not going to hurt my feelings if it takes place, but I would rather see Jones and Silva, to me, is going to be a better, more competitive, more exciting fight, honestly, than what, in theory, their two biggest stars are. It's just, physically, I don't think it would be the right time unless you can get Anderson Silva to draw down to such a weight. So I don't think that's going to happen. They have other fights there. It's not the best thing for business or anything like that. But you know what? To me, as long as you can make Silva and Jones, that's all that really matters.
Let's say that they do GSP and Johnny Hendricks. I know that Hendricks's camp obviously feels that he would win this fight. They feel that his wrestling, I believe his camp, his manager actually said his wrestling is better now than when he was competing actively in amateur wrestling, which is preposterous, but that was the claim. And he thinks that he can stuff every GSP takedown, and he has the power to knock him out standing. Would you put GSP as the favorite in that fight, or would you go out on a limb and say that Johnny Hendricks would be the favorite?
Hey, Hendricks has kind of made me a lot of, you know, in theory money by picking him against Fitch and Koscheck and guys like that. But GSP, until anything changes, still is a big solid favorite.
We're going to head to a break. When we come back, wrapping up the show, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, plus the TuneIn Radio app. That's the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline USA. Listen to all the great programming. Mike, very quickly before we go, are you surprised that we have now lost two huge matches from Strikeforce's final show? Luke Rockhold is out. Gilbert Melendez is out. The show is falling apart. What are the Todd's odds it takes place, first off?
It's going to happen no matter what. They'll glue something together to be on there. But overall, it's not a shock whatsoever that it's not. looking too good. You know, the specter of, you know, UFC contracts is kind of, you know, hanging over. Why should it be a surprise? I'm actually more surprised that Bob Evans did not win more matches during his 7-day Ironman challenge.
It's very difficult to do 7 Ironman matches in 7 days. Brutal Bob did just that. I believe he won 2, lost 2, and 3 draws. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was... Is that correct?
But at least got more falls than his combined 7 opponents, won 84-80.
84 falls. Brutal Bob is going to have one less win perhaps next year if I decide to take him up on this challenge. I'm deeply considering doing one of the Ironman.
Which he did with a lot of guys, including Adam Cole, which was there was a whole lot in the middle of the ring without much hitting the ropes. Brian, you've been known as a spot monkey from what I've heard. Is this true?
That is gravely incorrect. And if it was correct, I certainly wouldn't be today. Not only would it be all in the middle of the ring, there'd be no movement.
More of a Jake Milliman match, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go for radio, wrestling audio. If you love audio, I'm telling you, there's more there than you would ever know what to do with. So check out WrestlingObserver.com. I want to thank Mike, as always. And thank all of you for listening, everybody at Sports Byline USA. We're going to be back next week with a brand new show. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.